Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. So how's it going?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited. We're going to be marriage counselors for a day.
Yeah, I need to be deputized.
There
right?
you go.
Because I'm not official. In fact, one of the things that people hear me say all the time is, you know, I don't have any titles or letters after my name or anything like that. So
you remember in Barney and Andy yeah. and Mayberry, he would deputize Gomer, you know, to go find the bad guys. So I'm
citizen's arrest, huh?
I'm officially deputizing you as a marriage counselor. We're going to do a marriage talk today.
Okay.
And anything marital, any marital advice, what you learned. You're talking to young couples now, and I'm going to be talking to old couples. And between the two of us,
do I need to give some disclaimer that by listeners listening, they're giving consent for whatever, or some disclaimer?
I don't know,
like no liability.
If you need to do that, you
okay,
know,
yeah.
you can disown anything.
Listen at your own risk.
There you
okay?
go. There's our disclaimer. That's good. So I want to start with this statement because. It's funny because I confused my wife with it, but now we play with it, okay? And playing in marriage is really important. This is my basic premise about marriage and starting marriage, and it goes like this. I'm a mess, and you're a mess, and we got to figure this mess out.
Mm.
And I'll tell her, you're such a mess, and she'll say, but a good mess, you know? And she'll say that back to me, you know? Because people are chaotic and imperfect, and we're like sinners, and we're trying to be saints, and right, we're on a journey of transformation. And
well, what I hear you saying, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, what I'm hearing you saying is trying to communicate that we are a mess, like present tense.
Yes.
Because I think what ends up happening is, you know, on the wedding day, we might say that, oh, yeah, you're a mess, I'm a mess, and I'm going to clean you up.
Oh, no.
You know, that kind of a thing.
I wouldn't say that on the wedding day. No,
no I'm not saying you would say that, but maybe Dawn would say that. You know, but one of these things where I think that might be in the back of the mind is like we're not comfortable with the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're constantly stressing ourselves out by saying, I got to fix you, or I got to fix, you know, in the sense
of. No, that's true. No, that you bring up an interesting point.
And I'm not saying that we don't strive for growth. We don't strive for deeper intimacy. But there's something important about what you're saying here to recognize that, hey, this side of heaven, there's always going to be a level of mess.
Right.
And can we live with that? Not saying that we're pursuing adding to the mess or trying to make things worse, but you
right.
know what I mean?
We're playing. We need language to play.
Yeah.
Okay. We have to use our language to bond and grow. So if somebody says, well, he's got all these problems, I'm going to fix him later. Well, that didn't always go very well because people don't, I've noticed that people don't change a lot. They'll make some minor changes on the way. And then I guess if there's a crisis, you can make a big change, but nobody likes to change, right? But we have to be able to figure out a way to live together and go back and forth. And so it's kind of a tender thing to say, hey, you know, you're such a mess. Yeah, I'm a mess. Because before my Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, right? I'm a mess. But I was chosen, right?
Well, and my wife and I, we had even learned back when everything blew up about my addiction and then recovery and we got back together. We even learned this surrounding how to talk about my recovery and my struggle and those types of things. And so my wife would ask me, rather than saying, hey, did you look at porn today? You know, because such abrasive and so you know, cutting. We decided to dub the word goofy.
Okay.
So she would say, hey, anything goofy happening lately?
And it was a much. I love that.
It was still direct.
Yes.
Which we need to have direct communication.
Right,
about,
right.
But it was softer.
Yes.
And it was personal. We had our own little.
And
code,
you know
so
what
speak.
It meant. It was a code, right? You think goofy means.
And we also agreed, this is something that we agreed together, was I was in full agreement that she was always welcome to ask that question anytime because I knew that she was coming from a place, not of fear and anger, but from a place of love. We want to grow. She was like, I want to see my man continue to grow in integrity.
Whoa.
So then anytime I would hear that word, I wouldn't take it like, oh, I'm being attacked and I'm being shamed. It was like, hey, she's reaching out and loving me.
That's fabulous. You know? And it gets past, right? Remember, we fear rejection. And if I come at you and say, did you pass or fail today? Which one is it? That rejection thing can get
shame
hit.
Will come on.
Right. But if you come in the sideway underneath it, around it, and say goofy or messy, right?
We know what that means because we've communicated.
Yes.
All, right?
And it's playful and it's honest. And the thing about goofy is it's wide open. You could go anywhere. If you say, did you do this today? And you could always fudge. Well, no, not really. No, maybe a little bit.
You could become a legalist, right? I didn't exactly do that.
Yeah, you start. But if you say anything goofy, it means time to come clean. You got anything you want to say? Get off your chest. Hey, anything I should know? Right? And it's the same thing with the whole idea of concept of being messes.
Yeah.
Some people really get offended. And some people go, why'd you call her a mess? You can't call her a mess. It's like, no, we play with our language too, right? And all we're doing is creating dialogue and banter.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that because really, when I see anybody, I think that, wow, Andrew, you got messed up. And when I see a guy, I think, I wonder how you got sexually messed up. Everybody, I don't care. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I know you're a mess and you got messed up sexually.
Yeah.
Because we're creation. We're not the creator.
Mm-hmm.
We're humanity, right? And so it just takes the pressure off all of us. If we're all a mess, and some of us are waking up and getting on the journey of growth, and some of us are pretending, no, look how nicely I'm packaged. I'm really not a mess. I packaged me pretty nice. I'm social and friendly, and I solve problems. I'm not a mess. Well, you're just lying.
Yeah, you're not growing.
You're not growing, and you're not being honest that I'm on a growth mission and you're on a growth mission. You know, it's funny how, this is an odd thought, but you know, like the Beatles sang these songs back in the 60s, and they were innocent, sweet, silly. And then you see the old guys, they could never sing the same songs because they had gone on through life and had changed, right? We can never go back. And I don't know if I'm making this point very well. I'm sort of getting lost in my own head. I got caught up in the Beatles here. But the whole idea that we can play and we can be here right now and use our language here, but we'll use other language down over there and we'll be in a different place over there. And what we wanted, and so you can't actually go back in some of this stuff because go write one of those songs from the 60s. Well, the old guys go, we don't even want to do a reunion. And we're not going to get together and do that silly stuff.
And you know what I would say? You go through seasons too, like even this issue of Goofy. That was very much a part of a season of years early
that's
in our marriage.
It.
We don't communicate in the same way today.
No, that's right.
So.
And that's the maturity thing, right? But we used our language and it got us and we learned something. Then we built something else. And now we're way over here and your language has changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're holding the bond. You're pursuing one another. You're using your language, right? In a much more mature way. Right? Bond, but the goal is bonding. This is Marriage Talk 101 and bonding and using language that helps us hold a union.
Right.
So, what does being close look like? That's the question, because to him, in one of the episodes, Dad, we didn't hug, we didn't talk, we worked and then went to sleep. We worked, we ate, we slept. What does being close look like?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a question, what does close look like to you? What does close look like to me? What does she think closeness is?
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things where it is good, like you're saying, to understand the filter that goes through with a husband and with a wife. Because, I mean, I've said it before, I say it even in the workshop, sometimes it's like, you know, every sitcom that was ever made was based on the idea that men and women don't think the same way.
Okay.
And all the miscommunications that can happen and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I think that's why I love the fact that you've kind of said, this is an open-ended question. What does close look like to you? Because I can superimpose all of my assumptions onto my wife of what close should
look
right.
like.
And I can guarantee you more than half of them aren't even close to what what she's thinking close looks
right.
like. You know?
No, what is the language? What's the position? When do I feel, you know, what's the setting, right? Because we want to create that sense of closeness.
And this is where some tools that are helpful sometimes are things like, you know, the five love languages, some of that kind of stuff. So you can know yourself a little bit better in terms of like, how do I feel? what happens in life where I feel like I'm close to somebody? You know what I mean?
And what does that mean to me?
And then how to communicate that to someone, you know?
Yeah.
Because that, I would say, is probably one of the big issues, especially maybe on the husband's side, mm-hmm. is even as he may have start to get kind of an idea of what closeness is for him, which I would say that a lot of men, because so many men have like physical touch as their way that they feel close. A lot of guys will just say, oh, I feel close to my wife when we're having sex. And if he explores that a little bit more, he might realize, no, there's actually more to it than that. There's aspects of closeness that can come out of other ways. And then he needs to learn how to communicate that.
That's a really good thought, because most guys will say being sexual, right? Mm-hmm. That's the most intimate, close, right? But a woman might say, well, yeah, we had sex, but he didn't look at me. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk to me. He didn't say my name. I'm not sure if he was having sex with me or my body,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. She needs different things, right? She needs you to fully engage her, because some women will say to me, he's with me, but he's somewhere else in his head.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Like, so you're the one that brought up the sex talk. I wasn't going to talk about sex, but that's my two cents of what I hear from women that go, well, he was there, but I'm not sure he was really fully there.
This is the Pure Sex Radio program. Oh, we have to talk about sex we gotta throw every some now sex. And then.
Everybody's sitting on the edge of their chair out there in class. Did you notice that? If Perg gets sex, everybody kind of turn the volume up. Oh, yeah. What are the boys talking about now?
Or turn the volume down.
Those sexual guys.
Yeah. So what else in Marriage 101 here are we going to talk about?
So the whole idea, we say this a lot about emotion versus logic.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we got to be logical people. We got to fix the plumbing when it breaks, and we got to pay the bills, and we got to time, situations so we can get where we need to be, and we got to make the car keep running, and right? But the whole idea of most guys that do sexual stuff are under-invested in relational, emotional stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so to go on that mission and to see your wife also as a trainer, if you will. Well, what do you think about this thought? My wife, whoever is better emotionally, is the trainer in the family.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're the accountant, then you do the books. But if she's more relational, emotional, then she's the emotional relationship expert. Mm-hmm. Follow her lead. Let her teach you. We this is going to sound funny. We train one another to live together. We don't know how to do it. We train each other how to live with each other.
And the only thing that I would add to that, this isn't anything, this is more of like an enhancement to what you're saying, is I think it's important that we remember that we do that through a lens of empathy. You know, because what I think can happen, I mean, I've seen this happen even in my own marriage where we love each other. We want the best for each other. We want a good relationship. And yet at the end of the day, we have very different expectations, maybe of what that quote unquote, pinnacle of a healthy relationship looks like. And so even as we're seeking then to try to train one another and help each other grow, we need to recognize that this isn't about creating some kind of utopia that then when we quote unquote arrive, we go, we made it.
Mm.
I think there's an idea of a sense of empathy that we need to recognize. We've got different, even this question about what does close look like to you? So we've got different ideas of what that is.
Yeah.
We've got different points of need in what our quote unquote training is to be. We're at different stages, even in our own personal faith development and all
those
kinds of things. And so I think as long as we're looking through that lens of empathy of how can I want to understand you. I want to care for you in a way that's good for you. And then we can kind of bring our training, so to speak, on top of that. Does that make sense?
Yes. So let me go back. I'm a mess and you're a mess. We got to live together. And we have to train each other on how to live together.
Mm, yeah.
Because I don't know how to live with a wife.
And with that, what you're talking about is let's actually accentuate each other's strengths.
Yes.
And not try to make each other identical.
No. But even our weaknesses, there's a line, marriage is where you finish growing up.
Yeah.
Because your wife is going to show you your weakness. And you got to decide, you're going to grow or you're going to fight that weakness. right? And we're training each other to become more Christ-like,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all in training for the rest of our lives. So some guy said, hey, I'm not a dog. I don't need a trainer. And I thought, I just step back and relax, because it's like you didn't even understand the principle that why do you go to school? Why do you get experts? Why do we read our Bibles?
Right.
We're all in training.
Yeah.
We're all, we start as a mess and we're in a transformation process the rest of our lives.
And I think what's important to hear here for all of us, husbands and wives, is this means we have to embrace humility, right?
Mm.
Because
so I'm making all this empathy. You're over here, humility.
Yeah.
I'm making a list.
I'm using my emotional words.
This is Jonathan's list. I'm giving you the rules, and Jonathan's what has to go kind of go underneath it to make it work.
Because if you think about it, in order for me to accept what my wife is trying to pour into me related to maybe emotional maturity or how to communicate well, I have to humble myself. And recognize, hey, she's way better than that. I need to learn from her how to do that. Like, well, I'll give you an example. One of the things that my wife is phenomenal about is being present with people. Like, she is with
it's
you.
It's true.
Yeah, you know her.
Yes, I mean, yes.
It's
yeah,
like when you're around her, she's with you.
You are so important. She brought all of herself.
And I come next to you.
I love that.
And so what I have to do is I have to recognize, okay, if we're going to have a close, healthy relationship, I got to learn from her. I've got to be trained by her. What is it like to actually be present with people, be with them?
Yes.
And I'm really not that good at it. Yeah. But it's funny.
Isn't she training you as you watch, as you listen?
She sent me a text this morning because some of this was coming up even recently. And she says, hey, I appreciate you. You're baby stepping. You're getting there. And I was like, yes. You know, so.
That is too good. Good job, Elaine.
And I think that's part of it too, is as we see growth, let's celebrate it.
Amen. That's right.
Because I think sometimes it's so easy for us to pick out the things that aren't going well, right? The areas that aren't growing.
Encourage. I'm writing that down because that's the other thing. Empathy, humility, encouragement. So number four is, what do you do when you get your feelings hurt? What do you want? How do you act?
Mm.
Because I can turn all moody and get all messed up for a few hours. My wife can be done in 5 minutes. Oh, it's over. I'm done. I can be moody for 3 hours. And I come back and she goes, what are you talking about? I let that go 2 hours and 55 minutes ago. And I thought, man, I wasted a lot of time.
Exactly.
Why am I over here? Right. But there's a second part to it. And I think when I get moody, I want somebody to come check on me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were trained to be that kind of person, you know to do it. Hey, what's going on? I can see you're upset. Remember, the rule is pull together. Find your spouse. Pull them in. When somebody's struggling, get in their space. Be present with them. Pull in. Bring all of you to all of them, right? That's the rule.
Yeah.
And if you were trained in that model, you go, hey, maybe you need some private time. I'll just leave you alone. And for 6 hours, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
You know, you're out there thrashing. Is anybody going to come check on me?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think I'm more of the, you know, I'll get passive aggressive, you know, I'll retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elaine is more, she goes into herself as well, but she's like the, you know, she'll go into herself almost like she'll go to her doghouse, so to speak, but she'll come out and yip, you know, every now and then.
And then you'll know that's a cue or a signal or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll know.
That is, I'm cueing you in to,
exactly.
to engage or something.
And so in some ways, we're similar in the sense that we typically retreat.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that this is about marriage
skills,
tips, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we have even expressed to one another in recent years is, and we're about to hit 24 years of marriage, is that we're like, praise God that things don't linger like they used to.
Oh.
You know, you could get triggered and you have all that kind of stuff. And I think that means that both of us have learned, we've personally grown in terms of like, how am I going to respond just to when I'm offended, when I'm hurt or whatever, mm-hmm. how am I going to respond to that? But we've also grown in our relationship to be able to go. I mean, in recent years, I can't think of anything that actually went a 24-hour cycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, as you've gotten older, right? That may have been true earlier.
Oh, it could have gone days.
But
earlier,
as you get older and smarter and you realize.
And some of the time, too, is when we realize we don't know how many Christmases we have left. Like, time gets shorter and shorter. The older you get, you realize, there's an end to this life. And what am I doing to invest well in the relationships that I have? And
yes. So we're a mess, and we're going to make a mess, and we have to figure how long each person needs to sort through their stuff, and then we have to pull back together to hold the union, right? Mm-hmm. And clean it up, and so we draw together, we pull apart, we draw together, we pull apart, we draw together. Intimacy occurs because we pull back together.
Yeah.
We had our differences, we made a mess, and then we pull back together. That's laying a foundation, a structure, a bond of security and intimacy.
And I will say this as a sidebar, I think that's one of the reasons, there's plenty of deeper reasons for this, but I think it's one of the reasons that God actually established marriage as a covenant.
Because
guess what? If we were going to base our relationship in marriage on how are we doing today, guess what? You're going to be all over the map in terms of like, okay, we're going to bail today and never see each other again. And the next day it's like, oh, we're in love and it's happy ever after. And, you know what I mean? So it's like all of the ebb and flow of that building of oneness has to be within some kind of structure that is safe in the sense of like, you know, when my wife and I got back together after my recovery and everything, one of the things that we established was we did recognize, hey, we're a mess. This doesn't mean, you know, just because God did this phenomenal restoration, it doesn't mean we're done with strife and difficulty and conflict and all that. But one of the things, you know, that we established is kind of like fair fighting rules. And one of the basic bottom line rules was, hey, no matter how bad a conversation or argument gets, neither one of us mentions divorce. It never is allowed to come up in our conversation. So it's like we established, hey, there are parameters here that we're going to work inside of.
Yeah, that's good.
That all of the good, the bad, and the ugly is going to happen within this. And there's no getting out of this apart from death. You know what I mean?
We have to work it out.
Exactly.
That's good.
And that's actually a good thing.
Don't the wrestlers have a cage where they drop the cage and you're in and no one's...
That's right.
But in that one, only one gets out, right? Yeah. But in your story, we go in together and we come out together.
That's right.
I like the way you wrestle.
Yeah.
So I have this thought down here. If you're too logical, too detached, if your emotional system is not working, you can't play, you can't be silly, you can't have fun, you can't laugh. And those are the good parts, right? To be creative, to have an adventure, to laugh, to make a mistake, and to clean it up together, and to be so vulnerable to each other, but to not fear the other person will use it, right? Mm-hmm. But we're trying to figure out life.
And I think it's important on this particular point to recognize that, you know, we are talking about processes here, right?
Yes.
And what immediately popped into my mind is all of our listeners out there who might be currently in a crisis in their relationship or may have issues from their past that have yet been dealt with in terms of abuse and trauma and some of those kind of things. And so immediately even saying things like laugh and have fun, and it almost triggers this idea of that can't even be in my mind right now because we are so far away from that. Everything seems like it's crushing me and killing me. And so I do think there are stages that we're talking about here. And if you're out there and you're one of the listeners that's going, we're in a crisis,
right,
and don't either just discount what we're saying about fun and laughter and those kind of things, but at the same time, we recognize there's a process in terms of healing and getting to places where some of the things around language and how you banter can sort of be renewed and there can be an innocence to them again.
That's right. And with God, all things are possible, right?
So I just want to encourage that all of us at different seasons have particular baby steps that we need to take. But the point is, keep stepping.
Yes.
Right? Don't get stuck. Don't stop pursuing growing in your marriage.
If you don't hear anything, hear baby steps. Just take baby steps. Move towards, help each other, work like a team, and baby steps. So the one thing that, you know, and I try to help logical people that are less emotionally trained have ideas. Because they'll say, well, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, right? Just, I'll try. Just tell me what to do. I don't want to hurt my wife or lose my marriage or, right? And so we give general framework, and then you have to kind of make it fit the best you can. But I think everybody wants to be pursued. So go find your wife and go grab her and just speak value and worth over her. Just randomly, just go grab her and tell her she's the most wonderful thing in your life, that she's a blessing, that she's a good thing. Just go find her. Get in her space. Even like as kids, we pull the girl's pigtail because we want them to see us. And they go, oh, you're so annoying. But they want to be found and picked. Even if we annoy them, they would rather be picked and annoyed than neglected. So it's okay to irritate them. They go, oh, God, you're so goofy. But you're picking me. You know what I mean? So even if you're clumsy, find them, grab them, pull them in, play with them, mess with them, laugh with them, right? Create a space of bonding and connecting and intimacy, because damaged people, wounded people, logical people, they don't know that. Mm. And they don't know the joy of that place either.
And if what Stephen has just said to you brings a complete sense of terror or fear or whatever else, then I would say tap into what that is so that you can begin working on it.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a season where you're going to be exploring that with a counselor, or maybe you need a season where you need to get in, you know, wives, maybe you need to get a few ladies around you for certain areas of healing and growth, and that men, maybe you need some men around you that right. are going to say, let's talk about this fear that you have yeah. about intimacy with your wife, and yeah. And do the personal work that needs, that can get you to this place where you go, I can be bold and I can now make these moves. Because again, it's all in baby steps, right? Maybe the first move isn't that you're going to be able to do all of these things in one day. And like, I'm going to go grab her and pull her in. We're going to have fun and we're going to do a picnic. And then I'm going to bring roses. And then I'm going to, you know, it's like, okay, settle down, you know, breathe into a paper sack and think of one thing. Like, what's one thing that you could do today that is about pursuit?
That's good.
You know what I mean? Just think of one thing. Don't try to think of 50 things.
No.
What's one thing that you could do that you know would communicate to your spouse, I'm for you, I'm coming to you, you're the only one, I want you.
That's good. So I haven't said this in a while, so I'm going to close with this. We're training men, we're educating women, and we're growing marriages. And thank you for listening and being part of this ministry. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. We are always glad that you're here. And if you'd like, again, more information or just to be able to get some more resources to help you in growing a good marriage, please reach out to us at puresexradio.com or at puresexradio on Twitter and social media. We're glad you've been here. We'll see you back here again next time. Take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.